today we're halfway through the year, if I calculated correctly. We're like the 25th or 26th Sunday into the year. And we're getting closer and closer to New Year's. So today is kind of like weigh-in day. If y'all ever go to the doctors, you know I do. I don't go for every 6 months anymore, but I know my goal for a long time was always to lose weight. And it seems funny, you know the appointment's coming, and about a week before you got the appointment, you start starving yourself. And I even got to the point that I would make sure I wore lightweight shoes. Shoes I could slip off, because my niece is a nurse down at my doctor's, and I didn't almost strip down to nothing, just try to get that pound or two off, you know. And it's funny in a way, because you go into the doctor's office and I see you lost 3 pounds, you know. Yeah. But all I did was lose on paper. Nothing changed on the inside of me. And then here just a couple months ago, I started again. I was actually started eating differently, and I've lost 25 pounds. But I recognize it wasn't the pounds I wanted to lose. It's the way I felt. I mean, I got more energy now. It just makes a difference, you know. So I quit watching the scale as closely now, because no matter what it says, I feel the difference going on the inside. And I mean, you can lose 50 pounds and still feel terrible, where you stay where you're at, but eat correctly and feel a lot better. And so today, that's what the Lord wants to do. Is He's going to weigh us in today. And so really, it goes back to January, when we were first in the great physician's office in January. He shared with us scriptures for this year. And so I want you to look in the mirror today as we look at this for a second. And who remembers the four scriptures that God gave us for this year? Okay, all right. Who has the four scriptures that God gave us for this year? I mean, I give you all papers. If you, we talked about a couple, 3 weeks when we got into the papers, kind of, they're like the scriptures for a solid foundation for 2019. So how many people remember that? All right. How many people have been reading it, studying it, applying it to your life? All right. So today what He wants to do is, like, He gave us these scriptures, okay, in 2019, more you can be successful. Here's the foundation scriptures for us. And so apply it to your life. And so we're going to look at the scriptures today and look at the scale and see where we're at. This isn't a condemning message. It's just a reminder, you know. Every one of us can go to the doctors today and tell you all these things to do. In the next appointment, 6 months, and within a week, you kind of forget, don't you, what He told you to do, because life gets busy. And you really don't even remember what He told you to do until you get closer time for the doctors, because that's when you find the paper last time. Well, oh wait, I'm supposed to do this and this? Okay. So, if you look at these scriptures, look at the Word of God just briefly this morning as we go through this message, and just see how it has worked in our life. Now, the first one that we started with was Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 and 6. And you might be thinking, oh man, yeah. Part of this is going to be, oh man, yes, I've been doing this. Oh, I forgot about this. If we want to have a successful, be powerful with the Lord, these scriptures are given to us for us to be solid in the Lord. And in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 6, he says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice up for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." So again, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments. So this part of the year so far, 6 months we've been in the year, are we looking at God's word? Are we treasuring them? And are we following his commandments? You know, or have you been lax in that area? And don't answer to me. Just checking yourself today. The whole thing about relationship with God through his son Jesus is continuing to see where we're at and continue to draw closer to him. And sometimes, oh man, I forgot that. You know, I got so busy, I forgot. Because how many times do you sit around worrying about things? And worry is not from God. Understand it. We have to understand that. That worrying is not from God, because God has already got things that if we surrender our life to Him. And this message, again, is for all of us who are born again. If you're busy today, not quite born again, glad you're here listening, because this is awesome what God does in our life. But this is His remedy for our lives. First of all, in 2019, I want you to have more respect for me, fear the Lord, He's saying, and follow my commandments. And then, seek His wisdom is what He's saying. Seek His wisdom. How many so far this year had pretty successful wisdom, made a lot of good decisions? Okay. Now, who made some decisions we wish we didn't make? See? But look at it. It's 50-50. It could have been 100-0. You know what I'm saying? So as you seek the Lord and you continue to hear His word, you're making better decisions. Now quit looking at your spouses now. Then in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 10, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your possessions and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." So he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge Him. So, how we applied this to our life so far this year. Maybe sometimes we have and sometimes we haven't. But he says we need to trust in Him. Now, to me, I see a scorecard. You know, I see the first half of the year, now the second half of the year. Kind of like watching the Indians, okay? We've had the midway break, what do you call that thing? All-star game, okay? And so now we're on the second part of the season. And the first part of the season is awesome, but the second part is more important. And same way with us, guys. We've had the first part of the year. We've come a long ways. But we're still in this year, and these words are still good for us. And so the question today is, do we have to change a little bit how we're thinking? Are we really trusting in the Lord in our life? Or are we still doing things our own way? Are we still doing the things we used to do? Because, well, I know what the Word of God says, but, man, it's kind of scary to do that. But He says, if you want to continue with a different life, a stronger life, to trust in Him, He said He will make your path straight. And again, we get tired of falling down. We get tired of, here I am again. As we follow the Master, He makes our path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, that's a very simple thing to do, turn away from evil. Amen? It's a very simple thing to do. It's like smoking. It's very simple. I said before to quit smoking. It's the simplest thing in the world to quit smoking. The hard part is not starting back up again, right? Amen? I mean, quit smoking ain't hard. I quit 1,000 times in my life. Yes. I started back up 999 times. But he says the same thing here. He says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So things that are evil, turn away from them and don't go back to them. Stay away from them. Don't embrace them. And we shared earlier that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, okay? Again, doesn't matter how many times we have fallen down, Christ is there to lift us back up again, amen? If we fall 1,000 times, He'll pick it up 1,000 times. But we learn after a while, man, every time I do this, this happens. Well, good, we learned that. Now let's get away from it. Let God strengthen us. He said, it will be healing to your body and refreshments to your bones. Turn away from it. So we see evil can really attack our body, amen? Things that Satan can really get you in your head. You know, when we fall into sin, but the worst part of some sins is you're afraid somebody's going to find out. Amen? I mean, I'll say amen, yes. We are afraid, once we commit it, and we turn to the Lord, He forgives us. But then we still walk around, man, what happened? Somebody find out what I did. Man, did they take pictures? Was someone else? I mean, you see what I'm saying? And so we learn after a while, we don't like that, do we? We don't like that feeling. And so what we do, we don't embrace it. We turn away from it. Turn from evil, He says, to do that. And He'll strengthen us to do that. Honor the Lord from all your possessions. Everything that we own, we honor God with, means that we use it for correct things. We honor Him all that we have. We have an automobile. We have a place to live. We work. Whatever we do, we honor Him in it. Now, maybe you have a job where it's kind of hard to honor Him because the people that you work with aren't Christians. That's okay. We honor God the way that you work. Amen? Your house. Do we honor God with the home that we have, or do we allow evil to come into our house? You know? Again, we need to check that. Because He says, turn from all evil, honor God with your possessions, meaning my Lord has been established in my house. His word reigns in my house. And you're welcome to come to my house, but you're not going to bring evil into it. Now, that can be kind of difficult at times, but it's so important. What I mean by difficult is that, but if I don't let them bring that into the house, they'll never speak to me again, and they'll, okay, talk to God. Who do we want to honor, the world or God? It should be God. And you know, as we honor God, He has a way of working things out, amen? And we share in there Friday night also, as we just serve God, we honor Him, we have blessings that come upon our children, our grandchildren, our descendants. Think of that, by honoring Him. They might not understand that yet. They might be the one that's going to be mad at you. But again, the whole world is so dependent upon those who follow Christ to be sincere. Because you make a difference in their lives. But He says, your possession and from the first of all your produce. Otherwise, from all your first, from the increase, we call it money, I guess you call it nowadays, produce. Used to be goats, chickens. But, and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be full. Otherwise, men, honor me, and I'll make sure you have plenty. And that your vats will overflow with new wine. So that's the trusting part of God. Trust Him with your life and everything that you have. And that can be, that is a part of renewing your mind. He already promises you this. Trust me with it. I'll give you more than enough. Now, isn't that a good deal? So, where are we at today, 6 months into the new year? Have we been doing these two so far? Have you been trusting the Lord all that you do? Have we been honoring Him in all that we have? The good thing is that we got half a year to go yet. Amen? So the third part He says in Proverbs 4:20. In 4:20 He says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all your body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So again, for a solid foundation, for a good year, to be more prosperous, not just financially, but in all that we do, these are His words to us, given the Shepherd's Christian Assembly at the beginning of the year. And so, again, as we check ourselves, as we're in that doctor's office, he's examining us. So, oh man, have you been giving attention to my words? Have you been listening to them? Have you kept them in the center of your life? What God's Word wants to be is more than just a Sunday. Amen? In order for Him to do what He wants to do in our life, He has to be in the center of our life. In order for these promises to take place, that He has to be number one in our life. And as we listen to His Word, as we study His Word, as we hear His Word, man, it changes our life. It strengthens us. But it says also, again, it's health to our bodies. It's like preventive medicine, I guess. The doctor ever tell you what you need to do in order? If you do this and this, you lower your blood pressure, or you do whatever it is. Or hey, don't do this because if you do, you'd be at more risk for this disease or that disease. Does your doctor ever tell you that? I'm glad he looks at me. He just laughs at me. That's the best I can do, is talk what you gave me to work with, you know. But God's the same way. He gives a heads up and says, listen, health comes by following Him. Now, don't look around somebody sick today and say, boy, he must really be a terrible person. No. We live in a fallen world. Amen. We live in a fallen world. Sickness, disease is here, but God strengthens us. Amen. And we hear His word, it's His antidote to us. And I don't care where we come from, it's where we're going that matters. And as we study the word, we hear His word and study it, and we speak it out, it speaks to our bodies. Our body as a Christian, man, our body responds to that. Because God's spoken word is very powerful. Very powerful. And His faith, the faith that He deposits in us, it continues to grow as we hear that word. He said that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I know, again, the Bible says don't lean on your own understanding. Well, what good does it do for me to walk around speaking scriptures about healing? What good does it do? It does your body good. Your body hears that. And responds to it. I mean, because the Spirit of God in you, when you speak that, it's like God speaking it over you. And as you hear that, you'll be more and more convinced. Have you ever had someone do something for you? You think, man, they must like me. They do it again. They do it again. I did. My wife. 42 years ago. Ooh, still doing it. You know what I'm saying? So you have to get it up here to realize that God loves us. He cares for us. God is a healer. He's a strengthener. But we have a choice. We know the evil in the world comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Christ came into your life to give you a life and give it more abundantly. But He wants us to have all of it. Right. You know what I mean? If you have health insurance, and part of that health insurance, you have an eye, and you have dental, and you have medical like that, the price is already paid for all three of them. Would you not use all three of them? Well, you would. Okay. Well, same way with Christ. He died on the cross for our sins, redeemed us from our sins, reconciled us with the Father in heaven, but also He brought healing to us also through His Word. And through, because as we hear His Word, we turn away from evil. Amen? Amen? We close that door, I was speaking of earlier, we close that door and all that evil into our life. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Again, watch over your heart. Now, what He's talking about here, you got to remember that the Bible says that your heart is deceitful. So when you say, man, I just felt my heart's the right thing to do, and if it does not line up with the Word of God, it is not the right thing to do. It has to line up. I know sometimes we think, well, yeah, but there's that but God again. And we can't have that buts. In the Word of God, there is no buts, no if or ands. His Word is His Word. And we got to take this medicine the way it's given to us, because He only has the best for us. We have to be convinced on that. He only wants the best for us. And we entered 2019 this year. All He had was the best for us. And these scriptures came to us. As you've been building your life on these scriptures, man, it should be a tremendous change in your life. And I look around, I see a lot of folks here have grown a lot this year in the Word of God. They've been expanded a lot in the Word of God. But He's not done with us yet, amen? And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 was the other scripture that God has shared with us. He reminds us, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And so His Word, if we follow His Word, He is the foundation. We had quite a series on the foundation part there. But if you look back, this first half of 2019, have we built our life upon the Word of God, or do we still have our life kind of built in the world? And if your life has been falling down a lot, well, chances are we're building not truly on the Word of God, that foundation of God. Everything starts with His Word, following Him. When you say, man, I am tired of it, I'm going to follow the Lord. If it's not in agreement with God, I'm not going to do it. Then you start building your life upon the rock. And no matter what storms come your way, you're going to make it through. Storms still come. Whether you have your house built on the rock or on the sand, you're still going to have storms. But as you stand on the Word of God, you'll come through the storms. And we'll be wiped out. So that was the four scriptures he gave us. I remember I passed them out to a lot of folks. Some folks might not have been here. I got a few more copies. But, I mean, if we allow our life to line up with the Word of God, if we allow God to have total access to our life, man, whatever God has called us to be will take place. We got to learn to keep our little fingers out of meddling in our own lives, right? Well, it's my life, but didn't you give it to Jesus? Didn't He buy your life for a price? Okay, He's a great landlord. He gave His Word, and He'll continue, if you allow Him, to work in your life, to get things out of your life, if you love Him, and bring things into your life. Amen?
Amen.
And the reason is so important, we're going to turn to the second to 2 Timothy chapter 3. The foundations are so important because with the days that we are living in, and I'm telling you, just the magnitude of things taking place, if we're not rooted solid in the Word of God, many of us will fall away from the Lord. We won't understand what's taking place. And, you know, we were sharing last week about California. You know, it's continue to have earthquakes out there. And in the, this was from Friday, within 24 hours, and Friday, the United States had 562 more earthquakes. And since we last gathered here last Sunday, we had 11,456 more earthquakes. That's taking place. Continue to shake, shake, shake. Again, these are the signs of the times preparing us for the return of the Lord. It's not a fluke. Now, I haven't seen the news this morning with Louisiana, but you had that hurricane headed towards Louisiana, New Orleans. Anybody have an update on that? Okay. I haven't heard any update today. We was praying for it Friday night. But these are the things that's taking place. And if we're rooted in the Word of God, we'll have strength. Because He tells us here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, a couple of verses here. Verse 1 says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers," otherwise never happy, "disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malice gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power." He says, "Avoid such men as these." Now, again, to put this perspective, why this is so important is he's talking to the church. All that stuff I read, you see that out in the world, right? It's been like that forever. He is talking to us in the church. I mean, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. Do we see that taking place in the church? I'm not talking about the person sitting beside you. That's why I always have it by myself. No. But seriously, these are things to watch out for. Boastful. Arrogant. Wow. I mean, where have we come from? Jesus says, love one another. Love God with all your heart and soul. Love thy neighbor. Love thy enemy. And now we see that in the church, people be arrogant. Now, he says the last part I read to you, but they deny the power. These people are not right standing with God. Understand that, okay? But these are things that takes place. Why? Because some people build their foundations, their whole relationship with God on false pretenses. They build a foundation based upon how they want. They build their foundation with God on how they want to build it and leave certain bricks and blocks called evil in their life. Okay? And so that's how these things take place. See how important it is not to allow anything that's not of God to control you or control me. Because you're building this false foundation and you won't even recognize it. You may not recognize it if we turn away from that little small voice that speaks to you, that Holy Spirit that wants to guide you. If we start shutting it down and we hear that but God again. Yeah, but. If I don't do this, but. If I don't do this, she won't like me. He won't like me. Or my employer. All this compromise is building foundations. It's building foundations that's going to crumble. Let me wave at you also. There we go. You're a cutie. We got to have you this morning. We have another generation coming behind us. Amen. And we owe it to you to build a foundation for the Lord in our lives and give you a godly inheritance, that these laws of this country be laws that represent our Lord, that protect you, that keep you from evil, and that you will continue to hear that gospel being preached. See how important it is? How old is she or he?
16 months.
16? That's awesome. My lands. Sometimes we think in our lives, well, what difference does it make? Right there, the prime example. How little one's going to grow up. And we want to grow up in a world that God created it and that He'll continue to control it. And so, many of you here in the military sacrifice a lot of time in order to protect the United States. Well worth it. We appreciate it. We're the same way as in the military of the Lord, the army of the Lord, to allow His word to govern us and make sure our foundations are built upon solid God-grown word, let no compromise. So He's saying, in these times, you're going to find this in the church. Rivelers mean never happy. Do you know, don't look around, but do you ever know anybody that's never happy? They come to church and they're the most sour person they've ever seen. Never, ever happy. They lack the Spirit of God. Lovers of money. How do you say, I mean, look at this. Money's not evil. No. It's not evil, but the love of money is. And people will sacrifice, again, the relationship of God for money. They sacrifice everything, even families, for money. Boastful. Arrogant. Disobedient to parents. Look at that. Disobedient to parents. Now, raising children is only so much we can do. I understand that. So this is not a cover-all. But what happens to the disobedient to parents at times is the children starting out with being raised but without godly influence. Being raised without God being applied to their lives, or being raised in an area that, okay, do whatever you want to do. Okay? And then, and We wonder at times why they won't listen to us. Now, folks, there's many things that can take place. So don't sit there thinking, it's all my fault. No. This isn't an intention here. But I'm saying, children's going to rebel. That's part of the process, right? Terrible twos.
Human nature.
Yep. Rebellion, yes. Terrible twos up to about 90, okay? At the rebellion stage, okay? Oh, she leaving? Oh, okay, all right, okay.
You want it?
You bring her out, I'll preach on it. I'm telling you right now. Yep. But disobedient to parents is what the scripture is saying. And a lot of that, I believe, is because of the time we live in. That as parents, you try. But you have so many systems out there today that try to handcuff you from doing what you need to do for your children. Have you ever tried to discipline your child? Say, I'll just call children's services. I'm not speaking against children's services. Or I'll just call this person, that person. I'll call my teacher. That's the signs, again, these are signs of the coming of the Lord. People are ungrateful. Ungrateful. Unholy. You know, the people of God, we are called to be holy because He is holy. Again, what He's showing here is that in these times, there will be a gathering of people in places called churches, but God isn't in there. Unloving. Again, we go back to God is love. And we are to love one another. You're irreconcilable. Otherwise, you get in an argument. I'm talking to anybody again. I'm not talking to Oprah no more. She hasn't brought me any more baked goods. Okay? Malice gossips. Wow. Talking about people. Without self-control. We're supposed to control ourselves. Amen? So we need to check ourselves. Do I have everything under control? If not, what area are you lacking? Okay. Now, he's speaking here without self-control, meaning that they're doing anything they want. They're falling for anything. They're not controlled by the Word of God, not controlled by the Holy Spirit. See what I'm saying? We all have areas in our life that, man, we're still working on, right? He's not talking about that part. He is talking about without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied His power. He says, avoid such men as these. So he's saying, man, get around brothers and sisters in the Lord that are doing these things, get away from them. Don't hang out with them. Why? Because it's your foundation. It's the house that you built for the Lord, the temple of God. And if you see this thing again, that's 2 Timothy 3:1. That's just a barometer for yourself. Say, well, man, should I, shouldn't I? Again, every one of these that we spoke about, we all might get boastful once in a while. Man, my kid beat up your kid. That's not a sin. Well, I mean, they're beating each other up, okay? But constant boastful. My way is the only way. We're the best church in town. If you don't come here, you're going to hell. Right? I mean, that's not right, but I'm saying that's what boastful is doing. We know that's not right, okay? But some people are taught that way, okay? If you don't drive a certain model car, you're not being blessed by God. That's not right either, is it? Nope. Matthew, chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 15. God wants us to love one another so much that we're not offended by someone coming to us and showing us areas in our life that sin. Because the number one thing that God wants for His people to walk in victory, to watch out for one another. Now, those items I just read, some of the things that he sees in the church that's not of God, how did they start? You think one day they woke up and said, I'm going to do this now? Or was it over time? Over time it can take place. Over time you compromise a little bit or you give more importance to anything in our lives than, more important than God. Those things that take root in your life and personally will grow and grow and grow. And then you don't even resemble what God first called us to be. And that is a foundation to be that rock. When Peter said, man, you are the Christ. And so we owe it to ourselves to watch out for one another. And not to be so easily offended. Amen. But are you? Are you easily offended? This thing, I mean, I don't like that red shirt. Somebody give it to you?
Yeah.
I thought so. I wouldn't want it either. I'd give it away. Now, does that offend you?
No, because I got it from here.
You got it from here, okay. The number one, you said no. Sometimes things just don't work out the way you want them to, you know what I'm saying? But think of, no, I don't mind, because it's a shirt. I got it. Yeah, amen, okay? Not to be easily offended. Now, when you talk about clothing, oh man. What's your best golf score, John? And don't tell me I went to Lion Church, you know what I'm saying? 68? 92. 92? How about the back nine? You know what I'm saying? Now we can laugh about that, okay? Hey, I see sin in your life. How quick are we offended then? Think of that. Are we offended if someone comes to you and say, man, I need to talk to you. And this, what you're doing, isn't of God. Do we say, who are you to judge me? Don't we at times? And we got to realize that we are not to judge the world. Amen? Understand that. Because the world has already been judged. God has already judged sin. And the wages of sin is death. Separation from God for eternity. Okay? And we all, if you're here and you're born again today, we all was in the world at one time, right? We all had that death sentence. But what He wants us to do is judge one another. Rightly judge. And we should appreciate that. I know it's probably a different way of preaching. You don't hear that a lot. But He wants us to, out of love. Like I said before, and I know I got flat hair back here. My wife already told me. I can't preach my hat on. But she had to tell me your hair's flat in the back today, okay? I appreciate that. You know, it makes me feel self-conscious, but at least I get more hair than John Kimberly, you know? But she tells me that out of love. And we need to apply the same thing with our walk with one another. We owe it to one another, and it's not so we are commanded. Let me read this first and come back to it. Because we should never be offended as Christian to Christian, as born again brothers to born again brother. It says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, then take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every act may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, then you tell it to the church, again, to the body of believers. He's not talking about standing up on church on Sunday. Hey, I want to tell you about somebody. He's talking about to the body of Christ. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Now you might think that's pretty hard when he says that. Could we get this attitude and do what they want to? Don't we? I mean, seriously, we do. We get the attitude. But we have to understand that when we confess that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, is now my Savior and my Lord, you have just stepped into another realm of a higher accountability. Understand that. And it's a good accountability. Because everyone should have an accountability partner. Somebody watching over you. Amen? Somebody that is not afraid to speak to you the truth. Say, listen, hang on a second. You're getting kind of wacky there. I have people that I have listened to my messages for me to let me know if I ever get wacky or not, you know. And you all saying, well, they're not listening very good, are they? But you, seriously, if you look... Ryan's shaking his head. Okay. But I ask that for this reason. Because how many pastors have you seen fallen over the years? What caused them to fall? Okay? So I want someone to watch out for me. Because we all can fall, right? So I'm not offended when somebody comes to me and says, well, hey, I got a question. I want to talk to you about that scripture you shared Sunday. I'm not offended by that because I want to share more insight. Okay? And if I happen to make a mistake, I want to bring it forward to everybody else. Now, I've made mistakes before. I'll give you one scripture number and read a different one, okay? But I've never, ever been held accountable. I've never been challenged on my messages that God's given me. But I am not offended when people come in and want to talk to me what I've said or done. Now, I'm not going to embarrass anybody this morning. George Miller. I'm not going to go any farther than saying this. A couple services here, and he wanted to talk to me. Remember that, George? Awesome. Beautiful. I mean, awesome. He just, something came from the message. He wanted more clarity. We had an awesome time, did we not, George? That's what it's supposed to be. Come. Last thing God wants is for you to eat the preacher for supper tonight. What do I mean by that? Oh yeah, guest comes over tonight. Man, what do you think of that preacher today? I'm telling you what, I think he's wacky.
And he has flat hair in the back.
He's got flat hair in the back to start with, yeah. But I just think the music's too long. I think it's too short. They don't sing enough the old hymns like they used to. I think it's too loud. I can't hear where I'm at. Every one of the things could be true. Call the pastor. Praise and worship team. My wife. Do I? Don't call Angela. But you see, I will not be offended. I won't. I want to know these things. Okay? Tell us. When you sit around a group talking about it, now you're gossiping. I don't want you to go to hell because you don't like the way I sing. But seriously, I mean, open communication. I even have people in the church I have to listen to music to let me know if they hear it okay. Believe it or not, yes. Of course, two of them are deaf, but other than that, you know. Never offended. But it says here, if your brother sins, go and show him. Christ is saying, listen. This is so awesome, so important, that I want you to love one another enough to share that. We're talking about those who are born again. We're not talking about those who are not born again. Folks, I can imagine. I was 43 years old when I got born again. I can imagine at age 42 you come tell me I've been sinned. I won't tell you what I share with you probably. You know what I'm saying? No, it's not your job. The Holy Spirit will convict me. Amen? But we can get so close to some situations or get so involved or maybe not even understand. But we see that sin is sin, and one of us get involved in that, we owe to one another, say, hey, come here a second. I don't know you're sure, you know, if you know this or not, but man, the Word of God said what you're doing is sin is against God. And I know you confess Jesus. I know you don't want to go against the Word of God. And so I'll just share it with you. I thought, man, if you're struggling in this area, I'll pray with you. You know, one-on-one. Not out here in public. You know. Susan, I saw what you did last night. Man, God said you shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. You know that? I'll probably never see you again, would I? God doesn't want that. One-on-one. Now, but he is saying that if you go to a brother or a sister, these ladies aren't off the hook. And to me, this is contrary to the Word of God. Hey, I don't care. I've come a long ways. I ain't given up everything. But man, he says not to do this. You've been blindsided. I don't care. So I need to love you enough to get another brother, a sister in the Lord. It's mad. I've been trying to talk to Starkey. He won't listen. He's wrapped up in this sin. And he don't recognize it. He don't care. So they come and speak to me. And man, this is... it's wrong. He kept me in this. The Bible tells many times, if those who practice this thing shall not see the kingdom of God. What's caused you to be wrapped up in this sin? Maybe something has taken place in their life. And it's blinded into him. I don't know what it might be, but he says to go. And folks, when this takes place, it should always include an elder of the church or the pastor or somebody. It just can't be somebody sitting beside you during a church service, because we're all not born again yet. Amen? It has to be someone rooted in the Word of God. But this is done out of love, caring enough about your eternal salvation. And folks, when we confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, it should be in our hearts that we want everything that God wants us to do. We want all that He has for us to strengthen us. And we should say, oh man, thank you for sharing that with me. I had no idea. Well man, yeah, I know, but man, I've really been struggling in that area. Well, let me pray with you. Just ask the Lord to forgive you. And reestablish people. But it does say in time, if a person refuses, as a born again confessing Christian, refuses to surrender that. He said they're treated like a tax collector. Otherwise, they'd have no authority in the church. Amen? What I'm saying, but it doesn't say I'm going to kick you out of church. You wouldn't have any authority in the church, is one way the Bible looks at it. But the thing of it is, comes a time where people are actually removed from fellowship because of their false representation of following Jesus. That's called a wolf. Again, we have to worry about that here, right? I hope not. But again, showing you how important it is to hold one another accountable out of love. But one-on-one. It's not talking to someone else about somebody else. It can never be that way. That is a malice. That is a gossiper. And I'm telling you what, it runs so rampant. It's one of the biggest destructive things there is. I'm telling you what, gossiping is just as bad on the internet as it is verbally. Wow. God doesn't want it, guys. He does not want it. We have to restrain ourselves from this. Hear me, church? Everything should be uplifting. He says, concentrate on things that are wholesome, uplifting, and good. But we're getting sucked into this thing that we're telling everybody laundry out there. We're putting all our dirty laundry out there on the stinking internet. Destroying people's lives. And it has to cease. You're a child of God, born again. We need to recognize that. And so if you're doing it, the Bible says stop. Very simple, right? Turn from evil. But he says that we have the authority to bind on earth whatever is bound in heaven. And we can loose things upon the earth, whatever loosed in heaven. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? Good. You'll come back in 2 weeks and I'm preaching the rest of it. But again, to show you to love one another enough to go to one another in good times and bad times. To share the word and say, man, I'm really concerned about you. This is in the Bible. This word of God says, man, this is sin. And I know you don't want to sin. Do you recognize it? Oh man, you're right. Maybe see in somebody's life where they compromised. Hey man, come on. Yeah, I've done that before, folks. You know, just they compromised the Word of God in order to obtain something. And say, man, that's sin. You have to go back and tell them that you lied. That might mean you might lose something, but God wants you to do that. Oh, okay. None of us perfect yet, right? And so we're already making mistakes. Now, I'm not saying you're golfing next week and John misses a 1 foot putt. And a word from his past comes out. He goes, hey, John, I got to talk to you. I heard that word. No, no, no. We're talking about embracing sin in our life. Do you understand? Embracing that sin in our life. Because if we're embracing it, practicing it, then we're not recognizing it. John will be convicted before that last syllable comes out of his mouth. Me too. You too. Amen, guys? The minute we were convicted, we're already forgiven. Yeah. But it says when we embrace sin, we keep and we practice sin, and we owe it to one another, say, man, the Bible says not to do that. Well, I don't see everybody else doing it. And some people will tell you that. And they're being sincere. Out of love, show them the word. Amen? Amen.